flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Bill's joke aside, I agree with Judd there at the end.
Yeah.
They scored a bunch of touchdowns in that game, Judd.
Yeah, but, they did.
But
I don't think if scoring was an issue there.
But he's right. They looked
seven more would have helped.
Yeah, no,
seven more would have been different.
I could have used an extra seven. He's right. We're wrong.
Yeah, okay.
But, have you ever been at a game where a hat trick was scored?
I want to say yes, but I'm not going to swear by that. I want to say yes. Where people are hucking.
Did you huck your hat?
No.
So let's say you were at the game last night and you're like, I'm keeping my hat. First hat trick happens, bunch of guys tossing their hats. Yeah. Then you're like, there's not going to be another one.
No, this is a good question.
Second hat trick, you're like, you're the only guy in the crowd still with a hat.
There's only one person with a hat.
Hey, bud, you better fire that hat in there.
Throw your hat!
Or like, do you purposely wear like a crap hat to a hockey game? Because you're like, I'm going to have to chuck this thing.
You got to kind of know that's in the cards. You got to kind of show up.
Yeah.
To a hockey
game.
Or do
you want to be the hat the player always picks? Like, they always pick a hat to, like, keep out of the hat trick hats.
So like a sombrero, maybe.
Yeah,
like
you got to wear
a giant hat.
Yeah, like a...
That's a big hat. It's funny. Like a Turd Ferguson hat.
Like Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
Like a big hat.
Yeah,
I was thinking, like,
some of the hats
Tim Robinson wears in, like, some of his sketches. Maybe something that. Like that.
Oh, yeah. The one with the fedora with the flaps on it?
Yes. Exactly. Precisely.
I was thinking the Detroit is when he bought the Kangol.
The Kangol.
And he was, like, posing at it with his desk.
Love the Kangol.
I actually find it funnier than you do.
Yeah, maybe you wear a Kangol.
Yeah. The guy at the store said, I'm the only one who can pull this off. Fire that onto the ice.
Yeah,
I don't think I would, but I think there's so like the first one happens and you can kind of get past it. You're like, whew, like dodge the bullet there.
Yeah. People are looking at me weird, but.
Second hat trick? Like, dude, you got to go. Otherwise, there's probably no hats on the ice for the second one.
I never factored that in when I've gone to a, when we went to a hockey match earlier this year.
Yeah, I probably wore a hat, I think.
Yeah.
And there was no hat trick, so I wasn't worried about it.
But you risked it.
A lot of peer pressure.
You risked it.
Yeah.
I think I went hat-free that day, I believe, but you risked it. You wore a hat. You might have had to huck that thing down there.
Yeah.
That is embarrassing if you're a little far enough back. Yeah. First of all, you got to get it over the glass. So now it's like, what if you throw it and what doesn't make it?
Guys, can I get that back? No, the guy in the front row looks at you, then he just tosses it over.
Yeah.
And he's like,
that's probably what happens.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that's probably what happens, but that's...
Like, well, I'm keeping this.
So not only did I lose a hat, now I've been emasculated.
Oh, very emasculated.
With my
you're
little,
a baby girl.
My little chicken arm can't get this thing over the glass.
Yeah, not close enough.
I don't need that in my life.
Because what do they end up doing with all those hats? I know they kind of like sweep them up, and then what? What happened? They go to like the big department store in the sky? Where do they go?
I don't know.
Lids?
I don't know. It's Trump's America. Now where do they send those hats? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Good question. But no, I thought the Sabres, first of all, the Bruins had no chance. If we're going to be fair, if we're really going to be fair about it, I know the Sabres have had a bad year, but when they show up wearing those sweaters.
Wow. What a complete uniform.
Yeah, that was thinking, Joe Sacco saw him take the ice. Yeah. One more time, Joe. When you saw those Sabres uniforms, he's like, damn it.
Blue on blue, and man alive, what a beautiful uniform. The logo, not one but two swords on it.
Yeah.
Crossed swords, which I know you're not supposed to do.
No, but
crossed swords.
Well, let me tell you, in this situation,
Buffalo,
it works.
Man, that's nice. Yeah, it works.
It works.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, this isn't, I don't love this.
No.
This isn't ideal. You're supposed to be the last place Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
You guys are looking like this. And the Bruins suck on the road. They suck out loud on the road.
They're not 1-7-1, I think, on the road over the last nine.
That wasn't ideal. And, yeah, you lose the game. What an opportunity to just grab a couple of points, move up a little bit in the standings. A couple of teams around you that played last night, like Montreal and Tampa Bay, they both lost in regulation. So you could have gained some ground on them, and you didn't do it. So, yeah, no, that was a frustrating game all around.
They are 1-7-1 on the road since Christmas. That's also known as 1-8 on the road since Christmas. And so, yeah, it's not been a good go for them.
They're getting some of their guys back. They were a little undermanned, whatever. I mean, you're playing the last place team. There's no excuses. But they were down defensively. I think those guys were making their way back soon.
Yeah. So, maybe on some nights you give them that excuse, not against one of the worst teams in hockey.
No, not doing that.
As you said earlier in the show, the Sabres are always undermanned. And
every game.
It doesn't matter who you have out there. You should be beating the Buffalo Sabres. You just won without McAvoy and Lindholm. Lindholm hasn't been in the lineup in forever. You just won without those guys the other night. So honestly, I don't want to hear that excuse. But yeah, that was like a throwback Sabres team. That was like the Dominator was in net.
Oh, my God. Alexander Mogilny sliding down the left side there.
Pat LaFontaine.
50 on you.
Just rushing in.
That was a good
and
team.
So that was ugly last night for the Bruins, to the point where you got to wonder what the next shoe to drop is. Elliot Friedman, arguably the most respected insider in the NHL.
Is now, maybe. Scoops Keefe took a hit, which he shouldn't have.
You're working your way up.
Yeah.
I'd say you're working your way up on the insider.
Dusted myself off.
Not
that I was wrong,
nope.
Just the fact that people were really mad about it.
Yeah, they're casting aspersions is what they're doing. Yeah. But you're working your way up.
But Friedman.
Elliot Friedman, very good.
Well respected.
Not ruling out that the Bruins could trade Brad Marchand.
Huh.
At the trade deadline.
Well, we were told last week by our Bruins insider that they're definitely not going to trade Brad Marchand.
No, you don't trade captains in the sport. They don't get traded.
Well,
the Bruins have never traded a captain, that's for sure.
So let me stop you right there. The Bruins have, and teams have, the New York Rangers have. So
pretty sure Gretzky was a captain when he went from Edmonton to LA.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I would say.
King's Ransom. They did a 30 for 30 on it. Is that what they called it? I think it was King's Ransom.
Was it the first
30 for 30, the Wayne Gretzky thing. Yeah, look into it.
I'll dig it up. But I know.
But captains do get traded.
They get traded. It might not be the smartest move, but they do get traded. So that to me is faulty logic. I know they get traded. I know this team in my lifetime has traded multiple captains. So yeah, I don't. I definitely don't rule it out.
Because what can you get in return for some of these other guys? Probably not much. I think you're going to keep Pastrnak. You're going to keep McAvoy. You're going to keep Swayman. How many other guys are teams even going to call on? Or if you call them, would be even willing to give you anything worth a damn, right? Like, so I think if Don Sweeney's taking calls between now and March 7th, I bet Marchand's name's coming up. And they're just like, hey, would you do it? What would it take?
Or if you guys are still in it.
Yeah.
I'm a former Marchand guy.
Yeah.
You
sold your stock.
You're a contender.
Just in time.
Yeah, him and Liam Cohen. So you're a contender.
Yeah.
Don't you want Brad Marchand? Like, wouldn't he fit in? He doesn't have to be your leader and your captain and one of your best players. He could be probably in your top six.
Tomorrow, for example.
Maybe he's a third-line player on a championship-caliber team. And you could get him at the deadline? Hell yeah, I'd be calling the Bruins about him.
He might even be higher than that. So tomorrow night they play Winnipeg, who has the best record in hockey. I think they're tied with the Capitals for the most points. So what if they take a look and they're like, oh, I kind of like to look at this. Or you mean just go out there and slew foot guys, grab him by the throat and lick him. So we don't really know what he's going
to
do.
There's that. I mean, he tried to throat rip that guy the other night.
He did. And everybody was like, whatever.
Yeah, it's just Brad being Brad.
100% Brad being Brad.
Yeah, they're like not even anywhere near
nobody cared.
His worst infraction.
No. Wouldn't even make like the highlight reel.
No, it's not on a Mount Rushmore of Brad Marchand questionable moves.
Or if you had like a 2-minute video to put on Twitter, you'd be like, yeah, we can't include the throat
Maybe
rip.
Maybe at like 155.
Here comes the throat rip.
We'll work it in.
No, some of those Western Conference teams that are looking to add to it, you think Cassidy would want him?
Oh, that'd be awesome. That actually would be great.
That would be pretty sweet.
Good call. So, but I'm just saying.
Nick Montgomery would
want him. Saying Marchand doesn't, you don't need to rely on Marchand, I wouldn't think, the way the Bruins do.
Yeah.
And you could get more out of him if he is a second-line player, third-line player in a dream scenario. What he'd bring to the table would be phenomenal. And I just, how many tradable assets do the Bruins have? I mean, Pastrnak is tradable. Are you moving him?
I'm not.
Me neither.
No.
I'm not either.
No.
Are you moving, like, in the right deal, I would. Like, you're telling me.
Well, right. I mean, let's not go crazy.
You're telling me.
Everybody's tradable if, like,
Makar is available. Right, exactly. Somebody like, but, like, if I'm not getting blown away, ideally, I'm not moving Pastrnak.
No.
McAvoy's a tradable player. Are you moving him?
I'm not.
Swayman's a tradable.
I'd like him to be better than he is.
Me too.
But I'm not dealing
with him. Swayman's tradable. Are you moving him?
No, you just went through that whole dog and pony show of keeping him.
I'm also not moving any of those guys. And you could get way more out of McAvoy. You could get way more out of Swayman. I would have said that about Pastrnak about a month ago. He's been playing well. Like, we brought up Morgan Geeky the other day. Is Morgan Geeky a guy who, if you were retooling and selling, teams would be interested in adding to their bottom six? Maybe. But I don't think you have a ton of tradable assets. Marchand's the one. And when Elliot Friedman, some say the best insider in the sport,
mm-hmm.
not to be disrespectful.
Oh, it's understood. I get it.
And he's not ruling out.
Did Marchand go after Friedman because Friedman had that he's signing a 3-year deal?
Actually, one thing you have in common with
Elliot
Friedman, Keith.
Oh, look at me.
Is Marchand went after Elliot Friedman.
We're the Predator meme.
Well, that's...
You and your memes.
That's true.
Me and Friedman?
Yeah, just shaking hands.
Marchand yelling at us. Bang!
Now, unfortunately for you, as I think about it, that Friedman scooped didn't age very well because it was that Marchand had a contract extension.
Oh, boy.
So I don't want the last time Marchand went after somebody.
All right, well, that just speaks up to my hit rate still higher than Friedman's.
That's a good point.
Okay.
You know what? I misspoke when I said Friedman best in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't rule out Marchand getting dealt. So what do the Bruins need to do? How do you fix him? You can jump in here. 617-779-7937. And just one more time because I want to hear it again. I think Joe Sacco gave us the perfect embodiment.
Yeah, he did.
Of the Bruins season. How are we feeling about the Bruins in 2025? Like, he hasn't even coached them the whole year, Keith.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't even been, I mean, I guess he's been on staff all year, but he hasn't even been the head coach the whole year.
It ages you like a president. Like, these poor guys.
Jim Montgomery lost
all his hair coaching this team. Didn't have a hair on his head by the time he left
more hair.
Nope.
And Joe Sacco, one more time, is just beside us.
That's tough. It's like, how many more games?
They're like, oh, you have 30.
30? What the hell?
So you guys can jump in on the Bruins. Let's get to your phone calls. Here, Brian's in South Kingstown. Hello, Brian.
Brian? Are you there?
Is that a bodily function, Brian? What was that noise?
Brian, let's be well, Brian.
Let's put Brian back on hold.
Stay strong, Brian.
This is the kind of subject line.
The hell? Jones is right?
I yearn for Joe in Rhode Island. Hello, Joe.
Come on, Joe.
Jones, I love you, man. You're so right when you say that Brady would have at least won two without Belichick. But don't say that to Wiggy because he almost wanted to bite off Curtis's head off when he tried to use an example. If Brady went to New Orleans, that he wouldn't have been the greatest of all time. The facts show. I mean, you don't have to be a genius. Why can't we say Belichick wouldn't be Belichick if it wasn't for Brady? Why is it always the other way around in this town?
Well, so it's a fair point because we actually do know what Belichick is without Brady.
That part's confirmed.
Yeah.
There's no speculation on that. We saw Belichick before Brady. We saw him in a season or two when Brady was either suspended or hurt, and then we saw him after. So
We have the full gamut with Bill. We only have late career Brady without Bill, but we have a full gamut of Bill's entire career, beginning, middle, and end, without Brady.
No, the other part is debatable. And I could see why both sides could dig in.
You don't think it's a fact like Joe and Ronald was saying?
I don't. Okay. I don't. So I could see why Wiggy is so dug in on his side and why Curtis is so dug in on his side. Tom Brady got drafted in the sixth round, so the whole NFL didn't really think all that highly of Tom Brady, including the Patriots, because they took him in the sixth round.
Yeah.
So he gets in here.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch. It was more than six draft picks before Brady. Yeah,
yeah, right.
So
if they love like that whole thing, like they knew it, they scouted him. It's like, then maybe make sure that you get him and don't wait till the last second. Anyway, but Tom Brady got developed, and you have to give the coach also – throw Charlie Weiss in there, too, if you want. But, like, you have to give the coaches on the staff some credit. Otherwise, what's the point of coaches at all? Like, why do teams even have coaches if you're not going to improve the players a little bit? So we don't know. That's the one thing that we really don't know. Because I think they brought up Wiggy was like, what if he went to play for Jim Haslett And Wiggy's like, I played for Jim Haslett. He sucked. So, like, that's it was a great argument. But so, like, if he goes there, would he have won multiple Super Bowls with Jim Haslett? Maybe not. But maybe Haslett gets fired, somebody else comes in, or he goes to another team or whatever. Like, it's such a butterfly effect. We don't know where it was going to go. But we just look at the talent that he has, the competitiveness that he has, like, the attention to detail, all the way he took care of his body, like, all that stuff. That we know. I feel like he probably would have found a way to win. To say he would have won seven, I think, is probably a stretch. Like, that might have been the perfect place at the perfect time. But if he goes somewhere else, I bet we're talking about maybe the debate ends at Brady or Manning. Or I'm sorry, Brady or Montana. They both have four. Who do you like? And blah, blah, blah. But still, it's on the short list of best quarterbacks ever.
I believe, there's no way to prove it, but I believe no matter where Brady wound up, he's winning multiple Super Bowls. I don't care if it's Jim Haslett and the Saints.
All right.
I don't care.
All right.
And if you don't believe that, then you just don't think Brady's very good. Like, if you don't believe that Brady was talented enough to be a multi-time Super Bowl champion, no, regardless of where he wound up,
then you don't think Brady's very good.
You don't think very much of Brady. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I think that's the most fair way to say it, Keith. He wouldn't have won seven without Bill.
No.
I give
Because you got off to a hot start.
Yeah.
Like, that team was, it was like a perfect storm, and they were able to win early.
But he would have won, and to me, he would have won more than once. And I use the Kurt Warner example a lot. Kurt Warner was in Green Bay's camp. He was undrafted, but he was with the Packers. He had to go to the Arena League. He was coaching for Northern Iowa. He was bagging groceries. He was playing in NFL Europe. He came back to the NFL with Dick Vermeil and the Rams. He was a backup to Trent Green. He got the job. He won. He went back to another and lost to Brady. He went back to another later on in his career with Arizona. I personally think Tom Brady's a lot better than Kurt Warner.
Don't sleep on Kurt Warner now.
And Kurt Warner was great.
Yeah, yeah.
The NFL found Kurt Warner, and Kurt Warner broke through and won one. I think Brady would have won multiple. There's no way to prove it, but that's what I believe. And I think despite being a sixth-round pick and getting great early coaching and development from Bill Belichick, I think he would have figured out how to play quarterback in the NFL regardless of where he wound up and done it at a high level. 617-779-7937. We'll do more on Brady and Mahomes later in the week. We did a lot on Bill and Andy Reid on yesterday's show. We briefly touched on Kelce and Gronk earlier today. Greatest tight end of all time. Let's start with this, Keith. You think those are the two greatest, right?
I do.
There's no one else
Yeah.
I mean, maybe tangential players, but if you're going to narrow it down to two guys, those are the top two names at tight end in the history of the
sport. And I know older fans would probably, you know, find their guy, whether it's Mike Ditka or whatever, and I respect that. Like, if you want to prop up an old school tight end, smash mouth tight end, then so be it. But for me, it's definitely these two guys. Now, they play the position different, and I think that's where the argument either ends and there just isn't one, or you can actually have a good debate. So the people that think that Kelce doesn't block and he's not a true tight end, then they don't really want to have the discussion, then it's over. But if you want to say he's listed as a tight end, he's a Pro Bowl tight end, he's like all decade team tight end,
yeah,
he just plays it different. Just like, you know, Edelman plays it different than Randy Moss, but they're both wide receivers. Nobody's like, well, the best slot receiver. Like, that's such a ridiculous nuance. I guess some people maybe do have that conversation. But so to me, I would take Gronk. And I know the counting numbers are now in favor of Kelce, regular season and playoffs, with the exception of regular season touchdowns. That's
right.
Still Gronk.
Postseason touchdowns are Kelce. But
so I will take it. Yeah, postseason, they've played very similar games too. And for Kelce to have the numbers that he has are off the charts. The team success right now is equal. I know Gronk technically has four rings, but we know he was hurt for one of them. So if you want to say 3-3, Kelce TBD might rack up another one a week from Sunday. I would take Gronk's touchdowns, Gronk's blocking, and Gronk's at his best. I would say those are all checkmark for him, which outweigh what we've seen so far with Kelce.
Because I agree with you. Pete Gronk was better than Pete Kelce.
Yeah.
But that's not really the discussion we're having, but I would concede that point. Gronk at his absolute apex, his peak, was better than Kelce. But Kelce did it for longer, and he's done it in big games. And I personally don't care about the blocking when they win a lot and they've won a lot. I felt this way last year. When Kelce won last year, I said, greatest tight end of all time. He's passed Gronk. Gronk had been at the top of the list for me for a long time. I would argue about this with Arcan, going back a long ways. He would argue for Tony Gonzalez. I'm like, it's Gronk, it's Gronk. Kelce, to me, passed this by when he won last year. There's two big red flags for Gronk, beyond just the numbers and everything else. You can line up the Pro Bowls, huge advantage for Kelce, same amount of first-team All-Pros. The Patriots won without Gronk in 2016. You just said that he has four rings, but he only played in three of those Super Bowls.
Yeah, in the playoffs, you kind of found out in that stretch that Edelman was more important.
So that's a big strike against Gronk. They were able to win with Martellus Bennett one of those years in there. They didn't need Gronk to win a Super Bowl in 2016. That's a big strike against him. The other one, and this isn't really Gronk's fault, he only played with Brady. Outside of a handful of games with Garoppolo and Brissett, he only played with Brady. Kelce was a three-time Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro before Patrick Mahomes ever played a snap with him. He did that with, you know, Alex Smith. Maybe it was just Alex Smith. I'm trying to remember other names in Kansas City. He was already an established tight end. And so that's not the end-all, be-all, but Kelce was well on his way without a Hall of Fame, all-time great quarterback to being a perennial Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro. And we just don't know that with Gronk. So I have been arguing Kelce for over a year. I think it's Kelce. That's one I would give to Kansas City when we line up these dynasties. We'll do more on Brady and Mahomes tomorrow at 11 o'clock here on Jones and Keefe. We can mix in some phone calls. Let's go to Mike in East Longmeadow. Hello, Mike.
How are you?
Good.
You know, I hear this debate forever and ever, and nobody will ever know for sure about Brady and Belichick. I think they both complimented each other, and I don't think either one of them would have had as many without the other. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Well,
the other thing,
Brady would have had some without Bill. I don't think Bill would have had any without Brady. But
I don't think either would have had seven.
No, I'll agree with that.
Oh, Brady, I'm sorry. Well, actually, one of them doesn't have seven.
Guys?
Yeah.
Before Brady left for Tampa, the Patriots' record was about the same percentage-wise without Brady as with Brady.
Yeah, what happened when Brady
After
left?
After he left. Well, that's a different story. They didn't have Gronk. They didn't have Edelman. They didn't have a lot of people.
They had Edelman.
Wait.
He's saying when Brady was in New England, like the Castle year,
yeah,
the four games with Garoppolo and Brissett, he's saying their winning percentage didn't drop off all that much is what he's saying. But then when he left, it dropped off a ton.
I think it still did, though.
They did have Edelman.
Are you not counting 2000?
Good point.
The Drew Bledsoe year, they're 5-11.
If you factor in 2000, it probably does tank it. You're right. I think he's just talking about Castle. I'll be honest, I don't really know what numbers he's talking about, and I don't get why that's relevant. Gronk followed Brady to Tampa. They still had Edelman here.
By the way,
and they still had, you know, McCourty's and all those guys.
Yeah. I just looked it up real quick. Travis Kelce has caught touchdowns in the regular season from four different quarterbacks.
Oh, good.
One each from Matt Moore and Nick Foles.
Okay.
And then 54 from Patrick Mahomes, 21 from Alex Smith.
Okay, so it was only Smith prior to Mahomes getting
Smith
it.
And Mahomes.
Okay.
As the starters, yeah.
So again,
but still, I mean, Smith, I mean, I know he was a high pick, but what does everybody think about Alex Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like him. Maybe you like him more than I do. I don't like him. So three-time Pro Bowl and a first-team All-Pro with Alex Smith.
Right.
That's something.
This
Gronk does not. It's not Gronk's fault, but Gronk doesn't have that on his resume.
And also, like the juxtaposition between winning and losing, like with Edelman, Gronk, that kind of thing. Whereas the Chiefs won without Tyreek Hill. Like you removed Tyreek Hill from it. You won with him, and you were like kind of overpowered offense. Then you take him away, and he was still the centerpiece. And you won it that way.
No, it's a good point. Russ is in New Hampshire. Hello, Russ.
And Russ is gone.
No, he's not. Okay.
Russ is like, I can't do it.
He wanted
they
to
took,
talk.
They said all my points.
He wanted to take the, we took the thunder away.
Yep,
is what
I've heard that.
617-779-7937. You can jump in line here on Jones and Keefe. You can also jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart, you got Fitzy, and Ted Johnson, who's stirred up the people.
Oh, they're mad.
He's riling them up. Mm-hmm. Got the people going, as they say.
Sure did.
So that comes your way at 2. We have our clip du jour, Billy Lanny, with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grab bag.
It's time for grab bag. It's time.
Jones and Keefe WEEI, all the good stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program. Now, we had our guy Turpin talking Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Turpentine was in at high noon, as he is every Wednesday.
No, it's not the show, Turpinshine.
Turpinshine. Damn, that's a good title. That is a nice title.
Shout out to the Twitch chat for that. We stole that.
They got the Bulls tonight. And my sportsbook Rhode Island pick of the week.
Oh.
My parlay, partay.
Yeah.
Tatum over 25 and a half points. Derek White over 3.5 threes. It's like plus 467 or 460. 470.
Easy money.
I think so.
So Tatum,
too easy, maybe?
So I feel
too easy?
It's a little too easy.
Yeah.
We've cracked the code.
No Tatum. LaVine tonight for the Bulls who might trade him.
So if Tatum's not going to hit 25 points, is that how it happens where they're blowing out the Bulls by so much? He just doesn't need to play even to the fourth quarter.
But he just had a scoreless first half where I feel like when there's a a little bit. And so he might be more aggressive here in the first half. And
this
he could probably still hit 25 even without playing the fourth quarter.
So I got to do a little more digging on this. Okay. As I don't know if this is in the running still. I feel like we threw around a lot of brags earlier today. Keep getting callbacks from MTV.
Yeah, MTV gave me a call 18 years ago.
I think this is in the mix for brag of the week. I'll be going to the Celtics game tonight.
Yeah.
And so
that is a big brag. No, yeah. I was just getting, sorry, talk about me again. Bigger what if, Brady not drafted by the Pats or Rich Keefe on the Real World?
Wow, you want to play that butterfly effect.
I'd say I probably wouldn't be sitting in this seat. I'd be a personal trainer somewhere waiting for my call to go back on the challenge.
Celebrity bartending?
That's
a good one. That's
I'd be a bartender.
Make a lot of money that way.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be out there.
I think I listened to a podcast with CT and Bananas, not to completely go off.
Yeah, those would have been my guys. Those would have been my contemporaries.
Yeah. Well,
I would have gotten smoked.
I don't love your chances there.
No, I would have gotten smoked. I would have been in a lot better shape though. When I was probably 30 pounds lighter when I was when I applied.
Sure,
maybe not 30, 20, but I was cut up.
Yeah. Well, you would have had if you were going against Landon. Head to head with Landon, the guy's a machine.
Yeah.
So when I heard Bananas and CT were talking about how they would make a lot of their early money was a celebrity bartending, but then also they would do all the MTV Spring Break stuff.
Oh, there you go. Oh yeah.
So how different would that be?
My life would be very different. I'd be unrecognizable if that was my life.
Seriously.
I think
you have a lot of kids now.
I think about Real World Denver. I forget which one it was that I was trying out for. They didn't even say. They just said it was like the year they were casting for.
Who was Real World?
You could have been the next Dan Cortez.
I could have been Dan Cortez.
Who was Real World Denver?
MTV's Dan Cortez. They had the former Raiders cheerleader who was on a few challenges.
Yes.
It was, what was that cast?
Alex, Brooke, Coley. I feel like I kind of remember Coley.
It wasn't a great year.
Davis, Jen.
Jen. That's what I'm thinking of. She was on a couple challenges.
Jen was...
Davis might have been on a couple challenges.
I don't recall.
But all those people got cast over me.
Steven and Tyree.
What a what if. I think
that was Tyree the one who claimed he played at football at the University of Nebraska, but then you watch him and you're like, this guy
for sure did not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, this guy sucks. He might have, you know, seen a couple games at Nebraska.
He's from Omaha.
Yeah.
So Jen and Tyree.
I think that was the year. So that would have been like 06 maybe, somewhere in there.
Yeah. It says here Davis is your typical blonde-haired, blue-eyed frat boy. Maybe that was
took my spot.
That was your
I'm
spot.
Not a frat boy, but I mean, I guess I could have played it up.
Maybe you could have
pretended.
Yeah, you could have leaned
in on that. I was in Sigma, Sigma, Sigma. They're like, really?
So bigger what if, I would say definitely you not being cast on.
Or so, more so than Brady.
Yeah, even more so than Brady. But yeah, no, I
like White over 3.5 threes.
I like Tatum over points, and I think I'm going to sprinkle down on Tatum first bucket because you're going to get.
Oh, nice.
You're going to get Tatum aggressive early.
Okay.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead of a
grab bag.
Which is what I am.
All right, the latest on Alex Bregman.
Oh.
Jeff Passan or Passan. I'm not sure where the emphasis is.
I think it's Passan.
Jeff Passan was on the Michael Kay show.
Uh-huh.
And in regards to Alex Bregman, he said, quote, I don't think Boston is particularly likely to happen at this point.
Say that again.
I don't think Boston is particularly likely to happen at this point.
I don't think.
That's not how we talk in the Scoops game.
Likely, yeah, that's very vague, but that's still not promising.
The teams that he likes more than...
teams?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
This is weird to me.
Yeah.
Astros? Still a possibility?
Okay, I've read that the Astros are back in because Altuve might switch positions.
Got it.
So they're looking
they
at.
They also cleared money by trading Ryan Pressly
out of their bullpen. And so.
And he's like the heart and soul of the team. So it's like, I think there's probably getting a lot of backlash that they might lose him. So maybe they will get a late push. He also cites the Blue Jays and the Tigers.
They're behind the Tigers.
The Blue Jays.
Classic Blue Jays.
Dude, Blue Jays are in on everybody. But like the they're embarrassing.
But the Blue Jays, who'd they just sign? Teoscar? Who'd they sign?
Blue Jays got Santander, I think.
Oh, that's who it was. I'm sorry. Well, not Teoscar. So, sorry. Yeah. They've spent way more money than the Red Sox this offseason. Blue Jays, I don't mock. The Tigers?
Yeah.
The Tigers.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably won't either.
Oh, boy.
Grab bag.
Good point on the text line. Keith could have been the CT backpack. For sure. When Bananas got ragdolled in the pit, that could have been me. That could have been me getting emasculated by CT.
That is probably the most enduring
visual.
Highlight from the chat. I think they still find a way to play that like every single season of the challenge to this day. It plays on every single season, which is the Bananas backpack.
Somewhat ironic considering that Bananas looks like in that clip he's a joke, mm-hmm. and he ends up being the best one ever at it.
Arguably.
CT's
arguably better than Bananas. You sleep on Jordan. You haven't been watching recent seasons. You're out on Jordan.
I didn't see the last season or two. No, CT, I feel like there's too many highs and lows. I feel like Bananas is pretty consistent. Mm.
Very unfair to Bananas in that.
Doesn't Bananas have way more wins?
Bananas, I think it goes 7-6-5. Bananas, CT, Jordan, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, CT's up to 6. Kenny.
Kenny got canceled.
Kenny and Evan got canceled for
some stuff with Tanya.
Correct. Gotcha. They were quite good.
I remember he was good at it.
They were
quite good
at the show.
Kenny canceled.
Yeah, Kenny canceled is what they call
it. Who was the one that was tweeting at the show a couple months ago?
Oh, who's that moron?
That was Vinny. That was Vinny from Boston.
He's a piece of trash.
He's probably one of these people.
Keith doesn't know anything about the Bruins.
Was it
fake news?
Yeah, what was he mad about? Was it Bruins? Must have been.
Mm.
He was all hot about something.
Yeah.
And then we invited him on the show. It was crickets.
Yeah, crickets. Haven't heard anything from Vinny from the challenge.
Yeah, no, he's not anywhere.
Not Vinny from Jersey Shore. Vinny from the challenge.
Yeah, no, Vinny from Jersey Shore seems like a nice enough guy.
Great.
I don't have any beef with him.
I think
he's trying to do stand-up now.
I don't love that path.
I know. Yeah, I'll take it back now. But no,
just wake up and become a stand-up comedian.
You know what? People tell me I'm funny. I might go tell jokes in front of big rooms of people.
The very, very unfair thing to Bananas in the CT backpack is Tyler was on the other side going against somebody else. I don't recall.
Did he get backpacked?
Oh, did Tyler? No, Tyler went against CT, but he went second. So CT used up all his energy carrying Bananas.
Yeah, it happens.
And Tyler just kind of went against a winded CT.
Yeah, that's true.
And ended up beating Johnny Bananas. Yeah, right. Yeah, very unfair. What were you asking
very
about?
Good.
Swing. There's a line drive left center field. Deep back by the wall. And it is.
Grab bag.
So the Red Sox apparently aren't going to get Alex Bregman. That's however, good Thank news. Yeah. Roman Anthony has been invited to Red Sox spring training.
Nice.
So maybe he'll be on the Greg Hill show. I think the Greg Hill show is going down to Florida again for a few days for their show. Maybe Roman Anthony will pop by.
I'd like that.
That'd be good.
That would be good. I read Kylie McDaniel, ESPN, came out with his ranks for prospects earlier today. Roman Anthony, 2. He still has Marcelo Meyer, 4.
Wow.
He had Campbell somewhere in the 20s. I'm trying to scroll
and
read it now.
26.
26, thank you. Baseball America had Campbell, I think, 4th, and Marcelo Meyer further down. But no matter what, you're talking 3 of the top 25 prospects in baseball.
That's pretty good. So 2026 is going to be a good squad.
Yeah, look out for the Red Sox in like 2030?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, real
They're
going
to be like the old Astros SI cover. They're like, hello to your 2030 World Series champs. We're like, the heck? We're going to wait 5 more years?
Grab bag.
Washington Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury is going to stay put and has decided not to even talk with the New Orleans Saints. That is the last remaining head coach opening. There apparently was some interest there.
Dangerous. Nobody wants that job.
Dangerous. Isn't that dangerous after Bobby Slowick? Or do you look at Ben Johnson?
No, I look differently at him. Cliff Kingsbury was at least a head coach in the NFL, including a head coach that made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also look at the fact that he was a head coach. Like, he has more head coaching experience. And now if he has a couple of good years with Jaden Daniels, Slowick was really like a, whoa, look at this 1 year. Like, how good is he? More so, Kingsbury has more to fall back on.
No, he has a much longer track. I agree with that. He has a longer track record. No, and if Kingsbury shouldn't just jump at any job. Like, Kingsbury, I don't like the Saints job. But if Kingsbury could have got the Bears or something like that, he would have made a mistake by waiting on it. But he's not getting that job. So I get why no one wants the New Orleans job. They don't have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And I think they're relatively cash-strapped. Like, they're constantly, they're doing exactly what we talk about all the time with the salary cap and restructuring. They've restructured Alvin Kamara and Derek Carr. They do it like yearly down there. So there might be a cash flow issue. You're kind of locked into that quarterback. I don't think that's a great job. I don't.
No. Who do you think is going to get it? Do you have a pick?
I would have said McCarthy until he was out the other day. Is Joe Brady not even in? Who's even in? I don't even know who's staying. Yeah, like who?
Riz Dog. Darren Rizzi. He's there. I'll take it.
Kellen Moore might
Kellen Moore is interviewing for it.
Just keep him.
Riz Dog.
For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old
grab bag.
All right, the NBA Rising Stars player pool has been announced, and it's basically a bunch of rookies, a bunch of sophomores. They're going to throw them all together because they're doing all different formats. They also threw it, so no rookies or sophomores from the Celtics, which makes sense. They don't really have any rookies or sophomores to really speak of.
Baylor Shireman.
Although they do have a G League player pool player.
Nice.
J.D. Davison.
Oh.
Is going to be in there. He's been lighting it up for the main Celtics. 25 points a game, 8 assists, 4.5 boards.
Nice.
Mac McGlung also going to be involved in the G League player pool. Victor Wembanyama is going to take part in this thing. Amen Thompson, who just had a game winner against the Celtics.
Not so good last night.
Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson, Grady Dick, Dalton Connect. Let me see. Bronny. No Bronny James. No Bronny James.
It's unfortunate.
Just wanted to double check, but I didn't see any Bronny James.
No Bronny James, one Grady Dick.
Here's Grab Bag.
Sacramento Kings reportedly interested or willing to listen on trades for De'Aaron Fox.
Mm.
You think he gets traded at the deadline?
I when it's out there that they're ready to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw today the Spurs might be in the mix.
Interesting.
Fox and Wembanyama.
Yeah, I like that.
Jinx, by the way. But yes, that would be good, yeah.
Rest in Grab Bag.
Ooh, good reminder not to give away our entire Friday show, but the Royal Rumble's on Saturday. So ready for that, Bill? You excited about that?
We are officially on the road to WrestleMania.
Hell yeah.
What are you saying?
I think, I don't know, I did the Royal Rumble pool last year. I don't know if I'm going to do that again. It's a lot of work. Oh, yeah, Keys to the Rumble. Yeah, I'll do Keys to the Rumble. Nice. Absolutely. All right, let me ask you this. Is this the worst retired jersey? So the Golden State Warriors announced their latest jersey that they're going to retire into the rafters.
Maybe, yes.
So they're not just honoring this player, that you can no longer wear this number for the Golden State Warriors going forward. And no, it's not Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, who are all active players. It is the number 9 worn by Andre Iguodala. The only reason I give him like a little bit of pause is he was the Finals MVP.
NBA Finals MVP, yeah. And he's been an All-Star.
But like, was he not for Golden State, I don't think.
No. I see what you're
saying.
But
like, he is a Golden State Warriors retired number. Now,
Celtics have like 10 worse.
Yeah, no. They don't really have much of a leg to stand on.
Yeah, Celtics
Vince
fans.
Vince Carter just get his retired with the Nets.
By the Nets?
Did he even do anything with the Nets?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they made some Eastern Conference Finals, I think. Oh, no, they made the NBA Finals. Was he on that team?
A ton of threes.
Was Carter on the team that went to the NBA Finals? No, he wasn't.
No, that was, what, Kid Jefferson?
That was Kid and a bunch of nobodies, yeah.
Kerry Kittles.
I did like
one sock up, one sock down. Keith Van Horn, nice player.
He was a two-time All-Star in 5 years.
Scal was random Nets. I mean,
Scal was on that team?
That Drazen Petrovic jersey, which I did not get for Christmas, by the way. That was the real upset in my house. I was like looking around, like looking under the couch. Like, is there one more for me?
Yeah.
No?
One more for Dad?
One more for Dad? No? Anybody? What does that one say?
So is it the worst? No, but it's a pretty bad retired jersey.
No, the worst is actually the Miami Heat.
Oh.
Retired Michael Jordan's number, who never played for the team.
Nope.
And Dan Marino's number.
Yeah.
Who played for the football
team.
Can't
wear 23 or 13 in Miami.
Right, because of the football player.
Not because
of
anybody who played here.
Nope.
But because of, one rival of ours and another who played in the city.
So dumb.
Do you know the Klingon proverb that tells us
grab bag
is a dish that is best served cold?
Matt Eberflus, going to be the D coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys.
Flus.
So the Flus, not out of a job long.
Grab
bag.
Get twisted!
All right, best NBA performer from last night. Only 4 games, Jones, but I got 5 choices for you. Tyrese Maxey, 43 points.
That's it.
For the Sixers over the Lakers. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 39 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists for the Bucks, although they lost. LeBron James, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists.
Loss.
Good game for an old man, though. Colin Sexton, 30 points.
Loss.
And Anfernee Simons, 25 points, 7 assists. For the Blazers.
I'm not sure if they won or lost, but Maxey.
They won. They beat the Bucks.
Maxey won and put up 40 plus. Tyrese Maxey.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about a 2-time All-Star who played second base. He would hit from the left side.
Don't.
Of course, he would throw from the right as a second baseman. That would have been reckless if he was at left. If he was throwing from the left side,
that just confuses me.
Only two teams.
Okay,
Cleveland and the Cubs. So he played for the Indians, I believe, the whole time it was the Indians, and then the Chicago Cubs.
Years.
Two-time All-Star. Broke into the majors 2011. Final year 2020. COVID. Knocked out his career.
Wait. It's not, I want to say Ian Kinsler. It's not Ian Kinsler. I'm going to get this.
It's not Ian Kinsler.
Jason Kipnis.
He got it.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Yeah, Jason Kipnis.
Jason Kipnis. Arizona State.
A lot of Jason Kipnis shares back in my fantasy baseball days.
He had two nicknames.
Those I don't know.
Kip.
Yep.
And Dirtbag.
Dump that.
I don't think so. I share a nickname with
him. That's
good.
That's Jason Kipnis' nickname.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kip and Dirtbag.
Yeah. I mean, hey, listen, Dirt Dog. That's
Jason Kipnis. He'd steal you some bags and he'd pop you some home runs, right?
Yeah. He had one season of over 20 dongs.
And
he had two seasons of 30 or 31 steals.
Did he go 2020 that year?
No.
He didn't even go 2020 the year he hit 20.
23 and 15.
Dang. Still nice, though. You play him at middle in. You don't want him maybe as your starting second baseman in fantasy, but like your middle infielder?
Two top 16 MVP finishes.
Nice.
So that's nothing to say.
Hey, good player.
Yeah, nice player.
Jason Kipnis.
He said after COVID, he's like, no fans, not for me. I'm out. $53 million made.
Wow.
So probably doing pretty well somewhere.
He was like after the Grady Sizemore Cleveland teams, right? Or was he on those teams? There were a lot of guys I liked on those Cleveland teams. Not like the Albert Bell Manny.
No,
Cleveland
way
teams.
After
but
that.
I'm saying like that next wave of Cleveland players, I liked a lot of those guys.
Yeah, they had some nice players.
Yeah.
Wow. Jason Kipnis was one of them.
We had Shin-Soo Choo the other week. He was in that group, I believe.
Shin-Soo Choo?
Yeah.
With the Indians?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was. All right. Yeah.
I found the Vinny thing, by the way.
Oh, what was it? Yeah, what was he complaining
our
about?
Our interview with Christian Gonzalez when Keith kept asking about food.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't even a food thing. It was about Gonzalez. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Those were good. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Vinny. Those were good interviews. Mm. So he responded, "You guys are so lame. Who cares if players got sick from the London food? You think he's going to tell you and then have to fight in the locker room after his comments?
They're going to have to get in a fight?
People who never played competitive sports doing interviews."
Yeah, in our face. That's Vinny from the challenge. You got sent home for trying to pop off Mandy's top at a bar. That's him.
Good lecture from that guy?
Yeah, it's who's lecturing.
That guy? You got canceled from MTV?
Christian Gonzalez. That's a guest that never ducked us. Always showed up.
Always showed up.
Always showed
you
up.
You set your watch to the Gonzo interview.
Physically, he showed up.
Every Monday, though. Yeah, I mean, he was going through the motions, but he was there.
Every Monday, we talked to him.
Every Monday.
Yep.
For the whole year.
I respect that.
I respect that a lot.
You make a commitment, you don't break that commitment.
No, I would never. 617-779-7937. Stay tuned. We got WEEI Afternoons coming your way at 2, and we got the Clip du Jour next.
All right, time now for the Clip du Jour here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, are you ready for that?
Oh, that sounds great. What's the Clip du Jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the Clip of the Day. And today, we were talking about the Boston Bruins. Had a tough go last night against a bad but well-dressed Buffalo Sabres team.
Very snappy.
And we now have maybe the soundbite that best sums up the Boston Bruins season to this point, none other than head coach Joe Sacco.
At least the second most memorable Vinny at MTV. more Vinny.
Actually, I don't mind hearing that.
I rocked it open.
That's okay. Right.
3, 2, 1.
Here we go. I think we have a new one, Nick. We had the Mayo groan. We now have the Sacco sigh.
Like,
add it to the catalog.
Like, my favorite thing, too, is he kind of like started to talk, and then he's like,
it's like, be a head coach, they said. It'd be fun, they said. Take over the team, they said.
Every time, Katzla, every time I see the credit card statement every month, Joe Sacco, how does it look? It's just like,
Sacco sigh.
Oh, my God. Hey, can you take Lucas to the grocery store? We need something. Like, that's exactly how I feel. That's the full-on embodiment of the Bruins season is that
so
right
you
there.
You sit on the couch, like, can you give me some water? Like, I was literally standing by the fridge just a moment ago.
I was just in there.
Okay.
You need me to get you water.
Yep.
Okay.
You're actually closer to the water than I am, but I'll get it.
That's how... I think that's how we all feel about the Bruins nowadays.
Yeah, you're right. That does sum it up.
We're all Joe Sacco.
So move over Mayo groan. That used to be the bottom tier on Tier Tuesday. I think we have a new answer for that.
So we don't want to pile on Mayo anymore. I mean, it's the most unnecessary piling on
it
of all time.
Might sue us, right? Yeah. By all accounts.
Well, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, the Sacco Sai might be prominently featured on Tier 2.
Well, they got a chance to bounce back tomorrow night.
Nice.
Against the Winnipeg Jets.
What's coming up today on WEEI Afternoons, there, Hart?
Well, in case you haven't heard, we will continue our discussion about the verdict, Belichick versus Brady on Vice TV. Our co-host here on WEEI Afternoons, Ted Johnson, is a pretty big part of it. He wasn't sure he would be a big part of episode 2 because that's the making a case for Bill Belichick, but he did make the cut.
Interesting. He did make a case for Bill Belichick yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't he made a case for something. Not sure what the case was.
No, it's got good run, though, today. We were talking about it. I just love the way that he set it up. He's like, I give more credit to Bill than most.
The most.
10%.
Yeah. It's tremendous.
I was like, wait, what? Yeah. Hold on.
And when he said 60% Brady, I was like, oh, okay, 40% Bill isn't terrible. No, and then he's like, 30%. I'm like, where's this going?
Who's getting 30?
Ted, this doesn't add up. And then he's like, 30% everybody else. 10% Bill, and then as we sort of sussed it out, it was even like I rounded up to 10%. It was probably more realistically in the single digits. So we'll do some of that. We have our big guests on Wednesdays, so that's Adam Schefter, actually for the final time this season at 3:45. Then we'll have Scal at 4 o'clock. Fingers crossed that he, you know, knows he's doing it at 4 o'clock and is in that slot.
Okay.
Be interesting to talk to him about, because he got mad at me last week when I brought up negativity, and, you know, there's still reason for negativity around the Boston Celtics.
Oh, yeah, he's not very concerned.
Although, like, a night later on TV, he was, like, all frazzled at 2 a.m. or whenever the hell it was, late after a loss. So.
He's more concerned than Wiggy is. Wiggy is the least concerned.
Yeah,
have to be concerned.
Wiggy needs the Celtics in Cancun after they've been eliminated,
like,
to actually
straight up
be out of
loss. Confetti for the other team falling for him to be like, yeah, wait a minute, guys. Correct. Something wrong with this team. Yeah.
So we'll also do, this is something I don't know if you guys care about, but we're top five lists of who you're rooting for and against in the Super Bowl.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, nice.
Because this is a weird Super Bowl.
Rooting against all of them.
Yeah. Really?
Rooting for? No.
I don't want to give you my list away, but there's some people that are easy to root for.
I agree. I like Saquon Barkley. But he's on the Eagles, which is tough. But he is sticking it to the Giants.
The enemy of your enemy is
the part. There's a lot of layers.
That's true.
No, I think individually Saquon would be number one on my list.
Yeah. Guy's going to make himself some money because he's a good-looking dude, too.
Oh, he's handsome
as hell. If I had a company and I was looking to hand out, like, million-dollar pitch man money.
You'd give it to Saquon.
Absolutely. Yeah. The smile, the family guy, the production, the whole thing.
Love it.
I might be rooting for him.
Okay.
sounds like it.
Sounds like somebody you'll be rooting for. You can jump in on WEEI Afternoons. The Crossover is brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. Visit the Nines Monday through Wednesday for their newest Big Deal Meal. Your favorite chicken and sausage al forno. It's back at the Nines. Just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You got to love the Nines. WEEI Afternoons takes over next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Very much looking forward to talking to the Razor. That's on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.